We're continuing with the final session on what we're calling casting nets. Jesus invited all of us to be fishers. And we talked about how that is not just a one-time calling, but it's how as we as a church are drawn together, it's because we have a calling on our lives. It isn't just that, well, now I belong to a church. It's now I have a mission in life. There's something that God has given me to do, and that's to go out and fish. And we talked about how that is a lifestyle, how we change how we view life. But I want to ask you, if you ever wanted to go fishing, if we decided here it is Memorial Day weekend, and today we're going to go fishing, what is one of the first things that you would really want to do? It's almost unstated, but it's one of the first things that really comes to your mind. You want to go where the fish are. I mean, that seems kind of obvious, but sometimes when we are in the church, we think that we're called to go fishing, so we need to go and gather with other fishermen. We're not really going to get near the water, and we certainly don't want to get our hands smelly with fish. We gather with other fishermen, and we talk about the days of fishing and about how glorious it used to be when we were fishing, but we never really get the smell of fish on us. Or we go to a place that is so dry that fish can't survive. This morning, we're going to open up. We're going to talk about a passage from Ezekiel's prophecy. Ezekiel prophesied to the people that were living in exile, and he transformed the way they thought about the future. And as we think about our calling, our commitment to go out and share the good news, we also, I think, need to transform the way we view what our mission is, what our hope is, what God is enabling us to do if we will just to go out and fulfill what he is asking for us. So as we do that, let us center our lives that God is speaking to us in the here and now. Would you join with me as we center our lives on the Word of God? This is God's Word for my life in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I believe he has a purpose for my life. I want to start with this image. Does this resonate with you or with people that you know? People that their spirit seems dry and lifeless and barren, not really producing a lot of fruit, and maybe just kind of that anxiety about what tomorrow will bring. I want to kind of give you a little bit of background about the prophecy of Ezekiel. The people that had lived in the southern half of the nation, the nation of Judah, had been conquered by the Babylonians, and they had come in and they had sacked the temple. Remember, Judah was identified by the one true God and the temple in which they worshiped. But the Babylonians came in and they took it over, and they transported a great number of them to Babylon, which is in what is considered now modern-day Iraq. And so it's dry and it's barren and there's a river that flows through it, but the people are remembering the better days, and they live in a world that is dry, and we start talking about fishing in a place like this. And I wonder, as we think about our own time and our own culture, people that are worried about their jobs or they're worried about the economy, they're worried about the future. The rate of change is at a phenomenal rate, and people are wondering, what does it all mean? Where are we going? What does my life really mean? For a great number of people, their lives look like a barren desert. If that's where you are, or that's where people that you know may reside, then Ezekiel's prophecy is for you. It's for all of us. And so as we consider Ezekiel's message, let it speak to the dryness of our own soul and our own spirit, and may it bring to life what Ezekiel promises, what God promises through Ezekiel. Reading from Ezekiel, the 47th chapter, he writes the following. The man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced the east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. Then he brought me out through the north gate and led me around to the outside of the outer gate facing the east, and the water was flowing from the south side. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits, and then he led me through the water that was ankle deep. He then measured off 1,000 cubits and led me through the water that was knee deep. As he measured off 1,000 and led me through water that was up to the waist, he measured off 1,000. But by now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. He asked me, "Son of man, do you see this?" Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, "This water flows toward the eastern region and goes down through the Arabah, which is the Jordan Valley, where it enters the Dead Sea. When it empties into the Dead Sea, the water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be a large number of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand on the shore from En-Gedi and En-Gellium. There will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. But the swamps and the marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food, and their leaves for healing." This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks for the healing presence of your word. We just pray, Father, for the dryness of our soul would be refreshed by your presence, by this community that unites as one, and by the mission that you have given us for the transformation of the world. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. That image of dryness, that parched reality that sometimes we all go through, is what Ezekiel is speaking about this morning, about the living water that comes down and refreshes all that comes in contact with. This image that is on the screen right now is a runoff that comes from Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon is the highest place in the Palestine area. It is the cap of the mountain is constantly covered in snow, and so the runoff gives living water, that fresh, cool water, to the beginning of what is known as the Jordan River. It flows from Mount Hermon down the mountain, down to the Sea of Galilee. And it's at the Sea of Galilee that most people do their fishing. And if you remember from your New Testament biblical stories, Jesus did a great amount of his ministry and message around the Sea of Galilee. And the reason is because it was so teeming with new life, with fish of all kinds, that people made their living there. It became a source of commerce for people to gather around there and create a life for them and for their family. It was a source of life for them. Well, it flows out of the Sea of Galilee down through the Jordan River. The Jordan River, wherever it flows, there was greenness and it was a lush valley. It actually goes, the Jordan River is about 90 miles long, but because of its windiness, it traverses almost 200 miles. The Sea of Galilee is about 200 feet below sea level, but by the time it reaches the Dead Sea, it has descended almost to 1,300 feet below sea level. So it's a pretty good journey, and it's got a pretty good flow all the way down to the Dead Sea. The Sea of Galilee is only really about 150 feet deep at its deepest point, but it's constantly flowing because it's being fed from Mount Hermon, and it has an outflow all the way down to the Dead Sea. But you know that as it flows, it goes down to the Dead Sea. There's a reason that it's called the Dead Sea. It has salt content that is almost nine times higher than the ocean. It is so salty that nothing can sink in it. Your body, your buoyant body, will not sink in the Dead Sea. Of course, it also suggests that nothing can live there. It is called the Dead Sea for that obvious reason that everything that flows into the Dead Sea dies. There's nothing there. Would you come to a place like this and begin to cast your net and say, "This looks an ideal spot"? And the reason it's ideal is because you got plenty of space to yourself. But there are no fish. There's no life. And everything that has been funneled to it gets concentrated there. Sometimes I wonder, as we think about our own faith journey, does our life model more the Sea of Galilee, bringing new life and constantly growing, or are we slowly but surely becoming like the Dead Sea? And I began to wonder, how is it that we can be constantly within the flow of what God is trying to do? We can constantly be receiving what God is giving to us, but we can often find ourselves dry and aimless and having no focus. Maybe it's because in our own way, we are choosing to live like the Dead Sea. But the question that you may be asking is, how would anybody choose to live like this? Well, there's a couple of things that I would think become part of what I would term the Dead Sea Syndrome. Ways that we behave that block what God is trying to do. The first thing that happens, if you want to become like the Dead Sea, is block yourself off from the flow of what God is trying to do. Imagine if we were able to go out here to the Ohio River and we were to build a dam from Williamstown to Marietta. And we said, here's this mighty river, huge amount of water. And we said, but we're only going to open up the gates 1 hour a week. That's it. 1 hour a week, we're going to open up the gates and let the water flow. But when that hour is over, it gets closed off, and next week we'll do it again. Would anything live? If you're feeding your soul 1 hour a week, you answer the question for yourself. Can anything live in that environment? Block yourself off from the fresh, cool water that's coming down from the mountain, and you block off the new life that God has in store for you. Divert the flow. Instead of allowing the river to flow where God wanted it to go, divert it to where you want it to go. Make sure that your needs are constantly being met. Talk to people about what it is that you want out of church, what you want out of spirituality. Tell God that your needs are not getting met. Divert it to the streams and try and grow whatever you want, and eventually your lake of depth will dry up. See, the fascinating thing is the Sea of Galilee is only about 150 feet deep, but the Dead Sea is 10 times as deep. It still is deep. It still is dead. It isn't so much how much you have, but the constancy with which it is replaced, how much it flows to where God wants it to flow. You can also defile the flow. We live in an area that has a wonderful river, and the reason that it is wonderful is it allows a lot of transportation, and it also allows other people to use it for different purposes. And we have a lot of chemical companies up and down the river that sometimes use the river for cooling or for other processes. But we've also been introduced to something that's called a fish kill, which is whenever there's an accident at a chemical plant and something by accident gets dumped in the river, it defiles the river. Nothing can survive if you contaminate it to a certain level. You know, God can be offering you grace upon grace. He can be offering you opportunities to go deeper in your spiritual life. But if you mix in with all of that, things like bitterness and anger and resentment, nothing can live there. And when you think about the Dead Sea, what comes to your mind? Barrenness, desolation. Also, all of those contaminations that have ever been gathered concentrate there. And the smell of sulfur and the things that are gathering there that just die. There's just this smell of just death that just surrounds the Dead Sea. And I wonder, when we think of our own spiritual journey, are we gathering families around us that are just teeming with life? When people get up and they talk about Vacation Bible School, the opportunities to get involved with Vacation Bible School, about growing, about producing new life, are you part of that process? Or are you saying, no, that's just not for me? Well, there's a couple of things that I want us to consider about our own spirit, what God is telling us through Ezekiel's prophecy. And the first one is very simple. It is the nature of your life and your spirit to flow, not to freeze. You were never intended to be stagnant. You were intended to flow. We stand in the flow of time. You are constantly growing and transforming. Your body must age over time. But what is so surprising to me is spiritually, God gives you the option not to. He invites you to go deeper. He invites you to explore new things in your life. But that is a choice He leaves up to you. Like any relationship, God wants you to want Him. He's not going to force you. And what I want to know is, are you in the process of exploring new life, Or are you growing more like the Dead Sea? The first thing that we want to do is, if we want to transform and change our lives, is connect to the source of the flow. Connect to the source of the flow. Jesus said in John chapter 7, he said, "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow within him." Do you remember a couple of weeks ago, Joe got up and he was talking about the Good Samaritan, or the Samaritan woman who encountered Jesus and said, "Where can I find that living water that you're talking about?" It's this reference back to this Ezekiel prophecy that even though the Dead Sea is dead, God promises that out of the temple will come water that will make it fresh again. It isn't that things can't be turned around. We have to help it in the process. We have to choose to move in that direction. Even at the end of the Bible, as the last words come to John the Apostle, he writes in Revelation chapter 7, "The Lamb is at the center of the throne, will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water." Living water, wherever that water flows, wherever that spirit flows, new life comes abounds. I love that passage that comes at the very end of Ezekiel's prophecy. Wherever the river flows, not where it touches, not where it intended to go, but where it flows, everything will live. Everything that you engage in, if you are engaging it in the Spirit of God, it will live, it will prosper. What does it say then if we have people that just refuse to allow the water to flow? We also can create life by stirring the waters. Create some currents in your life. I was reading the other day about the Great Barrier Reef. It is at the very edge of, it's on the border of Australia, but it's on the very edge of kind of this great trench through the Pacific. And what happens is a great deal of cold water that has tremendous amount of nutrients in the Pacific get lifted up, and they bathe the Great Barrier Reef in this deep, rich nutrients of the depth. Each one of us has a deep spirit, something that is longing within us to touch something even beyond ourselves, to touch God and to know God at a deeper level. But we have to create some currents. We have to ask those kind of hard questions. We have to get involved in a Bible study that challenges us and asks us some of the hard questions. What does Jesus do with his disciples? He asks them questions. He constantly asks them questions about how to feed the 5,000. He said, "What is it that you have?" And when he asks his disciples, he says, "What about you? Who do you say that I am?" When was the last time you challenged yourself and said, "I'm going to go and do something I've never done before. I'm going to challenge myself. I want to stir up some of those waters. I want to give new life. I want to explore new things about myself and about what God is trying to do." Because the more we stay still, the more we become stagnant. The more we become stagnant, the harder it is to stir up those waters. You can be filled up every week. You can come in week after week and connect to the flow. But if the flow has no outlet, you're dead already. The Dead Sea is dead because it has no outlet. If you want to create new life, then create new streams. Get involved in a ministry. Give God the power to flow through you, not just to you. Find ways that you can accept and then release. Imagine, for example, this afternoon. It's going to be a beautiful sunny day. It's a hot day. But you go out and you're saying, "I'm going to kind of turn on the faucet and cool the kids off with the hose." But you look at that faucet and you said, "I'm not going to turn on that faucet until the water starts to flow. I'm not going to engage in it until I'm sure that I'm going to get water from it." What does Jesus tell us? Give, and it will be given to you. Sometimes we feel like we're in a barrenness simply because we've cut off the flow of what God wants to do. To find outlets, find new opportunities. And so think about your own life. The Sea of Galilee is not particularly deep, but it has so much life in it. Because it has an outlet, it allows flow, it creates life, and people gather around it, and they find life, and ministry and love and purpose begins to happen. Just down only 90 miles from the same source, getting the same water, is the Dead Sea. It is much deeper, holds a whole lot more water, but it's dead and nothing can live there because it never found a way to have an outlet. Until you find an outlet, your faith will just feel dry and lifeless. So if we want to create some new life, if we want to become like the Sea of Galilee, here are some things that I want us to try. The first thing that I want you to try and do is think about connecting to regular worship. You've got to connect to the flow. You've got to have a source of inflow into your life. We don't want to become like a place where we only come once a week and connect to the flow, and then we're dry for the rest of the week. It just doesn't work that way. God wants you to connect with Him, to feel that refreshness in your life, so that you have the energy to transform the rest of your week. Imagine if you had gotten up today and you said, you know, it's a Memorial Day weekend. You know, it's a beautiful weekend. I think I'm going to spend today and tomorrow out on the river. So I'm going to take off, and even though I go to church maybe every other week, I'm going to cut off today. If you cut off the source, how can you expect any new life to come forth? I also encourage you to create some current in your life. Ask the questions. Get involved in a Bible study. Get involved in a Sunday school that will challenge you, that will enable you to meet new people and get involved in new ministries. And I encourage you and I implore you to create some overflow. Give and it will be given to you. How does he say you will be given? Pressed down and overflowing, so much so that you can't contain it. It'll just naturally flow into the lives of others. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, he says, see that you also excel in the grace of giving. It is a grace that is given to you to transform the lives of those around you. And so we come back to this image of Ezekiel's prophecy. Ezekiel's talking about barrenness. He's talking about living a dry life. People that are living in exile and say, how can we ever be what we once were? And Ezekiel talks about water that comes from the temple. Now, Paul takes that metaphor in 1 Corinthians 3:16, and he says, don't you realize that you are the temple of God? That it's out of you now that that water will flow? That the Spirit will flow in and through you to other people, if you will allow it? But Ezekiel talks about this river that will come into this Dead Sea. And wherever the Dead Sea is, even though with all of its salt, it will transform it. Even where death is, it will transform it. There will be trees that will give you fruit, but healing for others. And what I need you to ask and wrestle with this morning on this Memorial weekend is what reflects your spiritual health? The Sea of Galilee or the Dead Sea, where nothing can live? Ezekiel leaves us with this promise. Wherever the river flows, wherever it flows, everything will live. Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks this morning for Ezekiel's prophecy and the promise that you will constantly move within us. We just pray, oh God, that you continue to stir the waters. Give us new life and new hope as we find outlets for ministry, for transformation, and for hope. Our calling is to give life, healing water to all who come and drink. So, Father, allow us to be filled to full and overflowing as we continue to do your work. In Jesus' name, amen.